Now I'd like to read some scriptures, firstly from the book of the Acts, chapter 15. The book of the Acts and chapter 15, and we'll read at verse 6 in this chapter. Acts 15 and at verse number 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So you'll notice there in verse 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Just that one verse in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. Second Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So again, we're reading there about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few verses in the Epistle of Ephesians, further on in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen to the verses being read. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, according to the riches of God's grace. And then in chapter 2, verse 8, same epistle, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So again there in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And then one last verse in the Hebrew epistle, another well-known verse, Hebrews 2 verse 9. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So notice again the reference there to the grace of God. And we trust that God would bless the reading of these verses. I've noticed that when we attend the Red River Exhibition and we distribute the gospel literature and the Bible verses, one of the activities that we find very helpful in interacting with people is those questions in the quiz box. And it's interesting to take note how people respond in answer to those 10 questions that there are. And most people, when they do those questions, that when they're honestly trying to get the correct answers according to the truth of the Word of God, most people get most of the answers correct. But it's interesting to notice that there are one or two particular questions that many people consistently answer incorrectly. And one of those questions that often catches people out is a statement along the lines of, we need to work for our salvation, and we need to work in order that we might be in heaven. And many people answer, it's a true or false question, all of them. And many people answer true to that statement. And they're thinking, yes, that is the case. We need to work for salvation. And we need to work and do things of ourselves in order to be in heaven. And so it is clearly in the minds of many people that in order to get right with God and in order to be in heaven, it is very much dependent on what we can do to merit God's salvation. And so that is taking the ground that I can, by my own good works, deserve to be in heaven, and that I need to keep working, and God will surely let me into heaven on that basis. And if we were to ask people, well, what about your sins? And what about the things that you do every day that are disobedient to God, that displease God, and sins that offend the holy God of heaven? What about those sins? And they will likely reason that as long as the good things, as long as the good works outweigh the bad things, then surely I will be deserving of being in heaven. And maybe that kind of reasoning goes on, perhaps even at a subconscious level, in the minds of many people. But that kind of reasoning, we want to be clear from the scriptures tonight, is not what the Bible, what the Word of God is teaching us and telling us in relation to the truth of the gospel. And all of these verses that we have read from the New Testament tonight, they all emphasize this fact that God's salvation for men and women and for boys and girls alike, it is all of divine grace. It is all of the grace of God. And what that means is that the salvation that God offers to all tonight, the salvation that is found in his Son, the Lord Jesus, is not something that any of us deserve. It's not something that any of us can merit in any way. It's made freely available to us because of the riches of God's grace. We read those verses in the Ephesian epistle, chapter 1, verse 8. The apostle Paul is speaking about the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. And the apostle is even clearer in the next chapter. We read chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And so these verses are teaching us that, yes, we can be redeemed. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can be saved. But it is by grace alone. It is the gift of God. It is a gift that God is offering to us. It is on the basis of what his Son, the Lord Jesus, did on the cross. It's redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And it is according to the riches of God's grace. And how glad we would all be tonight that this is true, because that it is still available salvation through God's grace. It is still the day of God's grace. And it is still a day when the gospel of God's grace is being made known. Because if you and I were left to ourselves to get to heaven, if we were left to ourselves to try to deal with the matter of our sins and to try and obtain before God the forgiveness of our sins, then if it was depending on us, there would be no salvation available for any of us. We would be eternally doomed. We all stand condemned as guilty sinners before God. And apart from the grace of God, we would be eternally lost. We would all perish eternally and be separated from a holy and a righteous God. And we'd all be in that lost eternity, the place of hell, and ultimately for eternity, the lake of fire. So we need to grasp this tonight, that I cannot save myself. I cannot fit myself for heaven. I cannot merit God's salvation. It is not of yourselves. Ephesians 2, verse 8. The next verse says, it's not of works. It is the gift of God. And so I'm dependent tonight on divine grace to save me from that awful lost eternity. That is what I am deserving of, a lost eternity. I am, as a sinner, deserving to be shut out from the presence of God because of my sins. But because of God's grace, there is a salvation that is available for sinners. I'm sure at least every adult in the meeting tonight, we've sung the verses of that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. But I wonder, do we all appreciate truly this amazing grace of God, the unsurpassing riches of divine grace that delivers the poor guilty sinner from a lost eternity, and that effects for the sinner the forgiveness of sins, that saves the sinner for heaven to be forever with God and with the Lord Jesus. And none of us are deserving of that eternal blessing, but it is available tonight because of God's rich grace and because of what God's Son, the Lord Jesus, accomplished there on the cross. Because how was that divine grace displayed? And how has it been made available to us? And, well, we read that verse in Acts 15, verse 11. The Apostle Peter says, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how has God's grace been made known to us? Through his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been displayed in the person of God's Son. And what did he do for us? What did the Lord Jesus do for us to make known that divine grace? We read that verse in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. The Apostle Paul, again, he's writing to Christians there at Corinth, and he says to them, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And so divine grace has been made known by the coming into this world of the Lord Jesus. And it was God's grace that brought the Son of God down from heaven, came down from the heights and the splendors of that place of heaven, and he came down into a dark, sinful world. And he moved here as a man. He was rich, but the verse is saying that for the sake of others, he became poor. And Paul says that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Not rich in terms of the material and the temporal wealth of this world, but rich, that we might be rich spiritually in terms of the great blessing of God's salvation. The blessing of knowing that our sins are forgiven, and knowing that I am fitted to be in heaven. I'm ready to meet God. I'm ready for eternity through God's salvation. And so that's what the gospel declares tonight. The gospel of the riches of the grace of God. And it was through his poverty, the poverty of the Lord Jesus, that we might be blessed with the riches of the blessings of salvation. And what was the extent of the poverty of the Lord Jesus? Well, Paul, when he writes that verse, he has in view not just the material poverty that characterized the Son of God when he was here in this world, not just the poverty of the manger in Bethlehem where he was born in that outside place, not just the poverty of the home in Nazareth where he lived and was brought up there for many years, and not the poverty of one who had to say on an occasion to his disciples, "Show me a penny," because he didn't have anything of the material wealth of this world. And that was true of the Lord Jesus, but that fact alone would not save any of us tonight. But when Paul says that ye through his poverty might be rich, he's thinking particularly of the depths of spiritual poverty that the Lord Jesus went to when he went to the cross of Calvary, the death of the Lord Jesus that he accomplished on that cross, and divine grace in all of its fullness has been made known by the Lord Jesus, giving himself, giving up his life, shedding his precious blood, suffering in the place of sinners when he died on the cross. That's what that verse in Ephesians 1 verse 7 is speaking about. We have redemption through his blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed there on the cross of Calvary. And it was the grace of God that brought the Lord Jesus to give himself on the cross. That's what the Hebrew writer is getting to there in that verse that we read in Hebrews 2 verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And the verse ends by saying that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so we need to grasp this tonight, that to come into the good of God's grace, the grace of God that saves the soul for all eternity, we need to look tonight with the eye of faith to what the Lord Jesus did on that cross, the sinless, the spotless Son of God. And there he was shedding his precious blood. And there he was, that verse in Hebrews 2 says, he tasted death for every man. And it was divine grace that brought him into this world. And it was that grace that compelled the Lord Jesus to go to the cross and to give himself there, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so for every sinner in the meeting tonight, for every sinner in this world tonight, there is a salvation that is available for everyone because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished there. Through his poverty, we might be made rich. We might come into the blessing of this salvation. I want to just think for the rest of the meeting about some of those verses in Acts 15 that we read. And we read in verse 7 of Acts 15, Peter says there about the word of the gospel. People who heard the word of the gospel and they believed. And that was the basis of their salvation. And so I want us to think a little bit more about the word of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And we would desire that you would hear it tonight, that you would be listening to the word of God tonight, and that you would believe it and you would receive it for your own salvation, to the saving, the eternal saving of your soul. So these are words that Peter, the Apostle Peter, was speaking in Jerusalem. It was a very significant occasion there when those elders and when they gathered together there in Jerusalem, because the context to this is that the gospel was now going forth not just to Jews in Jerusalem, but it was going forth widely to the Gentiles as well. And They were hearing the word. It was being preached by the apostles, and we read about it in the early chapters of the book of the Acts. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching in Jerusalem. 3,000 heard the word and believed from amongst the Jews there, and they were saved. In Acts 4, it speaks of 5,000 who heard the word and believed. And every day there were new converts that were coming to trust in the Lord Jesus, beginning there in Jerusalem, as the Lord Jesus had commanded his disciples just after his resurrection, but before he ascended back to heaven. He said, "You will be witnesses unto me," beginning there in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and he says, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So it began there in Jerusalem, and Jewish people were hearing about the Lord Jesus, and they were coming to trust in him. And then the word was going out to some of the villages of the Samaritans. And in Acts chapter 8, we read of Philip the evangelist, and we read about the conversion of a man from Ethiopia. And then you come to Acts chapter 10, and it's the Apostle Peter who was directed by God to preach Christ to the Gentiles. And Peter goes to the house of a man called Cornelius, a Gentile man. He was a Roman centurion of the Italian band. He was a Gentile. And Peter preached in that man's house, and Gentiles were now getting saved. And this was beginning to cause controversy amongst some of those who were in Jerusalem, and they were making statements that were not according to the truth of the gospel. And so there was this gathering here in Acts 15, this Jerusalem council, and the truth of the gospel needed to be confirmed, and it needed to be established that the message of salvation and the message of trusting in the Lord Jesus for salvation is a message for all, to go forth to Jew and Gentile alike. And that was why they were gathering there in Jerusalem. And maybe you've come to the gospel meeting tonight here in Winnipeg in 2022, and you're thinking, well, we're a long way away from first century Jerusalem. That's a long time ago. That's a very different place to Winnipeg tonight. And is this of any relevance to me? Well, it's still the message that we would desire to make known to you tonight. It is still the word of the gospel that you need to hear. The same word that the Apostle Peter preached to the Gentiles, that's what he's speaking about there in verse 7 when he rises to speak to this gathering. And he speaks about the Gentiles. Peter says, by my mouth they should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Peter is referring particularly to what he did when he spoke in the house of Cornelius that we read about in Acts chapter 10. And what was Peter's message to the Gentiles that were gathered in that house? He spoke about the person of the Lord Jesus, and he spoke about what the Lord Jesus did to provide salvation for sinners. He preached a message. You can read about it in Acts chapter 10, round about verses 36 through to 43. Peter preached peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Peter spoke about what the Lord Jesus did. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And yet Peter says men took him and they slew him. They hanged him on a tree. But that one, the Lord Jesus, that men put on the cross, Peter says, God raised him from the dead on the third day. He was risen. He raised him from the dead. And Peter says that this is the one who is ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He's the one that God has ordained to be the judge of all men, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says in Acts 10, verse 43, that through his name, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, shall receive the forgiveness of sins. That was the word of the gospel that came from the mouth of Peter to the Gentiles. And Peter is saying here in Acts 15, those Gentiles by my mouth, they heard that message. They heard the word of the gospel, and they believed that word. They trusted in the Lord Jesus for salvation. They received the forgiveness of sins. And friend, tonight, and you've come to this gospel meeting, we want you to understand it's the same word of the gospel that we proclaim tonight. It's the same message that Peter was preaching there in that place of Caesarea, in the house of Cornelius in the first century. And God, in his rich grace, he has afforded you the opportunity to, even again tonight, to hear from his word, to hear the word of the gospel. But I wonder, are you listening to that word tonight? Are your ears open to receive it, or are you closing your ears to the word of the gospel? How important it is to hear what God has to say to all of us. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here moving in this scene, and he spoke the words that God the Father gave him to speak, and the Lord Jesus urged men and women to listen to the words that he was speaking. He says, after he'd preached that parable of the sower, he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Because he was aware that many who could have been listening, they were dull of hearing. And that's what the Lord Jesus says. There are many that are dull of hearing. So he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And there are so many people in Winnipeg tonight, and they're dull of hearing when it comes to listening to what God has to say to us. And the scriptures emphasize that if a person is going to know the blessing of salvation, there needs to be that preparedness to hear the word of the gospel. A verse in Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God desires that you have an ear to be open to hear his word tonight. There's an appeal that God makes back in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 55. God says to the people, "Hearken diligently unto me." He says, "Incline your ear. Come close to listen to what I have to say." He says to them, "Hear, and your soul shall live." And God desires that for men and women and for boys and girls tonight, that you will listen attentively to the truth of the gospel, and that you will hear the word of the gospel, and that you will receive it, and that you will believe in the Lord Jesus. There's a warning given in the Old Testament in Psalm 95. It's quoted in the New Testament in Hebrews 4. "Today, if you will hear his voice," God's voice, "today, if you will hear God's voice, harden not your hearts." And you know, many people, maybe it's true of some here tonight, you've listened many times to the truth of the gospel and the message of God's salvation. Many times you've heard the word of the gospel, but maybe you've just hardened your heart to the things that you hear. You've closed your ears to that truth. And tonight God is saying to you again, today, if you will hear my voice, God is saying to you, harden not your heart. He's saying, hearken diligently unto me. He's saying to you tonight, incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. And so we trust that there will be opened ears and there will be softened hearts to receive the word of the gospel. And Peter says in verse 7 of this chapter in Acts 15 that they heard the word and they believed. So here was the way that these people, these Gentiles, here was how they entered into the blessing of salvation. They heard and they believed. So that's a simple thing to understand, to hear and to believe. The Lord Jesus said, it's written in John 5, verse 24, the Lord Jesus says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Hearing and believing. And so, friend, if you're hearing God's word tonight, we trust that you're believing it. Because that is how you will be blessed with salvation. By trusting, by believing, by exercising faith in the truth of the message of the gospel. Peter says of these Gentiles who heard him preaching, it says in verse 9 that they purified their hearts by faith. By faith. We read the verse in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "By grace are ye saved through faith." Faith. So faith in what? To believe that on that cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus was crucified, to believe that he was suffering and he was laying down his life for sinners, but to believe not just in a general way that Christ died for sinners, but to believe that he was suffering and dying in my place. God's salvation needs to be a personal thing. You need, as an individual, to come to God, to come to the Lord Jesus, and acknowledge him as your personal Savior. So it's to believe by faith, to trust in him, that he suffered and died on the cross in my place. He paid the price for my sin. He shed his blood for my salvation, for my forgiveness. And that is what we need to believe if we're going to be saved tonight. To believe it in your heart. That is what the gospel is all about. It's the condition of one's heart before God. A verse in Romans 10 says that it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. And you'll notice in these verses in Acts 15, there's a couple of references to the heart of man. It says in verse 8, Peter says, God which knoweth the hearts. And there's something that's very solemn. Because this is the truth of God in all of his deity, that he knows the hearts of men. The Old Testament tells us in one of the passages that men only look on the external. We can only look on the outside of one another and see that which is on the external, but it is God who looks to the heart. It is God who knows what is really within us. It is God who knows the true condition of our heart. He is the God who knows the hearts of men. And then the next verse, verse 9, another reference to the heart. Peter says of those Gentiles, they heard the word of the gospel, they believed, and Peter says they were purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying their hearts by faith. What is that telling us? That is telling us that those Gentiles, their hearts were defiled before God because of their sin. But by believing the message of the Lord Jesus and what he did on the cross, their hearts were cleansed. Their hearts were made pure by believing the word of the gospel. And that is the great change that God is able to do in the heart of man by his grace, through the truth of the gospel. If you are not saved in this meeting tonight, please understand the condition of your heart before God. Your heart is stained with the guilt of your sins. That awful, that accumulated guilt of every sin that you have committed, it leaves its stain on the human heart, and God knoweth the hearts of men. And that human heart is the source of all the wickedness that comes forth in the lives of men. The Lord Jesus spoke clearly about that when he was here in this world. We get it in Matthew 15. He says how that out of the sinful heart comes all evil thoughts, comes all evil actions. He says that it is out of the heart that these things come forth. These are the things, the Lord Jesus says, that defile a man. So as sinners, our hearts are stained with the guilt of our sins. We're defiled sinners before God. We cannot be in heaven in that condition. We're not fit for the presence of a holy God if we're still defiled by our sins. Scripture says in Revelation about heaven, specifically about the heavenly city, Jerusalem, but it's true generally of heaven, nothing that defiles will enter into heaven. Nothing that defiles. So our sin is the problem that we have. But how can we be fitted for heaven? Well, we need to have our hearts purified. We need the cleansing of God's salvation. We need our sins forgiven. And we need the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that he shed on the cross. The verse says in 1 John 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So it's only the blood of Christ that can cleanse us. It's only that purifies the defiled, sinful heart. And yet that is the blessing that can be yours tonight, friend, if you trust in the Lord Jesus. There's that lovely verse there in Isaiah chapter 1. God says, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That is the purifying, that is the cleansing that is made available to the sinner through trusting in the Lord Jesus. And then just to finish off, notice the words of Peter in verse 9 of Acts 15. He says there a very basic thing. He says, God, put no difference between us and them, between us, the Jew, and them, the Gentile. God's salvation is for all. God's salvation goes out, the invitation goes out to the whosoever, to the Jew or to the Gentile. It's on that same principle of faith in the Lord Jesus. And those words, no difference, Peter uses them there. God put no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Those are important words to grasp. We get them again in Romans chapter 3. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No difference as far as man's sin is concerned. We're all equally sinners. That is the scope of man's sin. But we get those two words again in Romans 10, no difference. There is no difference for who. The verse says between Jew and Greek, exactly the same thing that Peter says here in Acts 15. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, no difference as far as man's sin is concerned. We're all sinners before God, but no difference as far as the scope of God's salvation. It is for the whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter is making clear in Acts 15, there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile as far as God's salvation is concerned. And for all who are here in this meeting tonight, there's no difference between any of us. No difference between you and me. No difference between you and the person sitting beside you. There's no difference at all. In terms of man's sin, we're all sinners before God. But there's also no difference as far as the opportunity of the blessing of salvation We're all dependent equally on the grace of God, and we all equally need to hear and believe the word of the gospel. And then one last thing that Peter says to these people in Acts 15, verse 10, he makes a plea to those who were wanting the Gentiles to be put under the bondage of law-keeping and works, and that error that was trying to be introduced. Peter says, "Why tempt you, God, to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" So just think about that in a general way. What is Peter saying? He's saying that to try to live by the Old Testament law, to try to keep all of the commandments of God, Peter was saying that was a yoke of bondage that we were not able to fulfill. And the history of the Jew and the history of mankind proves that man cannot keep fully the law of God. And Peter is reasoning to these people, why are you asking the Gentiles to do something that has been proven to be impossible for sinful man to do? Why would you do that, says Peter? And just taking a hold of that thought, please understand this tonight, that God is not asking any of us to do something that is impossible for us to do. To be saved is possible for every person in this meeting. God is not asking you to do the impossible. But to be saved, God is asking you to do something that every one of us is capable of doing, young and old alike. What is God asking you to do? God is asking us to believe in our hearts the word of the gospel, to believe the truth concerning his Son. And that's the offer that God makes to you tonight, to accept it or to reject it, to accept the Savior or to reject him. And so this is the salvation that God makes available to you tonight. It is the gift of God. It is all of his grace. Are you going to accept that gift tonight to the saving of your soul? Or if you're going to reject it, it will be to your eternal damnation, to eternal judgment. And so you have a need tonight. Your need is real, the need of your sins, and your need is urgent. You know, the Lord Jesus could come again at any moment. And when he comes again, the day of grace is over. The invitation to respond to the gospel is finished. There will no longer be the opportunity to hear the word of the gospel and to believe it and to be saved. The Lord Jesus could come again at any moment. Or if death was suddenly to come to you, as happens to some, and if you're not saved, then again you would be in eternity. It would be too late for you to be saved. So be saved tonight. Receive the word of the gospel. Hear it from the word of God. Believe it. Put your trust, put your faith in the Lord Jesus. He is the one who is able to save you tonight. And if you are going to be saved, if you do get saved tonight, you'll be able to sing that hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And we trust that that would be true for everyone here tonight. And so we pray that God's word will be a blessing to all. Let us pray.